Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Leaving Room Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Mr. Brian Fogg. Hey, thanks for joining me, man. Got a lot of stuff here to cover, a lot of stuff to talk about. It's been a minute since I've been on the mic, behind the mic, to talk some boxing here. But let me ask you this, man, because I'm kind of curious about your thoughts about this. Floyd Mayweather and Tank, are they a relationship in harmony, or does it look like they're both not on the same page when either one of them talks about either potential opponent or anything? Yeah, anything. Did you watch that? Yeah. Did you have a chance to watch that fight hype? No, was it Fight? Somebody, I think it was Fight Hub. They posted the post interview, right?
Press conference, yeah.
Right, and then Floyd is talking about, you know, geography, talking about that California is Mexico, and you know, if Texas is Mexico, and Gervonta is like, he's like, what is he talking about? Like, what is he doing? Like, you know, why is he talking like this, right? But you know, the one thing that makes me wonder, and this is what I want to ask you: do you think Floyd Mayweather, because anytime a reporter asks him, "Hey, what's the deal? When is he going to fight somebody honestly? That's a real threat at 135, or is he moving up to 140? What's going to happen?" Floyd deflects away from that pretty quick, and he basically shows that he has no confidence in his fighter, Gervonta Davis, who's 27 years old, mind you, okay? But I get the feeling, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that he's kind of sabotaging the kid's career for a reason.
Yeah, I see. Yes and no. I mean, like, the idea that there's been friction between those two, like, right, that's been going on for years.
Right.
All the way back when Floyd was trying to get rid of his trainer, his childhood trainer, which honestly might not be the worst thing to do anyways.
Right, right.
Then, you know, remember Tank was all over Twitter a couple of years ago ripping Floyd to shreds, talking about he's not getting the fights he wants. And then three days later, he's on a big pay-per-view.
Right.
So, like, this has been ongoing. And Floyd, like, well, you look at the, like, last 15 years of his life, he's been around a lot of yes men. Like, he hasn't had many dudes say, no, I don't want to do that. And
you've seen those cowboy boots he was wearing to a basketball game, somebody's obviously not telling him, no, Floyd, that's not the look you want. You want to, you know, show up at a game after the whole world can see. But, you know, here's my thing. And tell me if I'm way off, okay? Here you have a great fighter, who obviously was one of the best of our era, okay?
Sure.
Floyd Money Mayweather, which originally was Pretty Boy Floyd. And in a lot of ways, to me, here's a guy still is twilighting off his own career and doesn't want to see anybody take that limelight. Because, I mean, look, he attacked Canelo on the weekend of his fighters, you know, right? Upcoming fight here. And anytime Canelo's, you know, makes an announcement, I mean, he did this in the past. He did it with, you know, other fighters as well that was getting kind of, you know, getting the train run, right? And I get the feeling that even when he's attacking these other folks, or he's inserting his name, right, along with these other fighters, he's kind of doing this to his fighter, and he has more control of it, though. Like, more control of Tank not passing his legacy. So what does he do? Not allow him to fight the Lomachenkos of the world, the Teofimos of the world, you know, the Hangleys of the world. I mean, I just get that sense that, you know, if Floyd didn't have that much control in his company, we might have seen Tank at 27 have a much more accomplished, against opponents than he has right now. Because at 27, he hasn't done much, man. You know, Isaac Cruz is 23 years old, and he has now, what, three good names under his resume that it's a more of a standout than Gervonta Davis.
You know, the weird part, I don't know if Floyd's is, like, I mean, he is a petty child. He's jealous of everyone in the sport. But, like, I don't know how active he is or how much it might be a decision from Al Heyman where it's like, you know, maybe Tank doesn't have it or his head's not in it right now.
Do you think Al has a lot to say what's happening with the TMT promotions?
I think Al has a say with everything. But
that's true. God bless Al.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, the guy knows what he knows. But, right. You know, and I would like to name my firstborn kid, whatever. But, looking back at Tank, like, this performance this weekend, I mean,
it was terrible.
Late replacement. Cruz wasn't that bad, but, like, come on. Broken hand, like, these are excuses. Like, the best win on Tank's resume was when he was, 22 when he beat up Linares? Or not Linares, Pedraza.
Pedraza. Right.
Yeah. Which is, you forget about it. That's a good win. And that's when we thought, like, you know, holy shit, this guy's going to be a star for the next decade.
Right. That's when everybody was like, holy shit, you know, buy some stock into this kid because this kid's going to be something, you know, special. And that's why I go back with, like, look at Oscar De La Hoya, okay? Oscar didn't really have control of his company. I don't know how much he has control of it now, but... You know, you see, like, Oscar, right. That's another subject to dive into a little later. But you see, like, Oscars when Canelo, Golden Boy, trying to build Canelo, or like Ryan Garcia, Oscars, you know, joining other promotional groups and Trilla and trying to promote his stuff, and you know, trying to get himself psyched up enough to get back into the ring. Floyd is kind of in that same way, but I think he has a little bit more control because he basically, the TMT team, right? Remember Issa Smith, J-Love, Mickey Bay, all these guys, but dude, they're gone. None of them are there anymore. The only one that's now holding up the stable, holding the doors open to the stable is Gervonta Davis. And I think that
he is the stable.
He is the stable. Exactly. So I'm sitting back and I'm looking at Floyd and I'm reading body language here. And I'm no doctor. Everybody knows that I'm no doctor, but I'm going like, dude, Floyd doesn't want to see this kid come up because there's a potential there, which I don't think there is. I think Davis could do some great things. Could he do what Floyd has done? No, because I'm still not sold on Tank at 130, 130, 135 arena, 140. I'm sorry. I'm not sold on the kid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sold on his power. I am sold on at 130, 135, 140. It's not going to be there. But, I'm sold on certain parts of his game. But, yeah, he's not the complete package. I don't know. Well, we don't know yet, like, because they haven't thrown him in with anyone that's going to push him in a way that he needs to. But I mean, he's had four or five performances now where you're just kind of like, that's the dude we were talking about.
Right.
Like that's the dude we've been talking about all week. That's on pay-per-view again. Like now he looks like kind of like a B+ action star.
You know who wasn't sold on his power though? Out of everybody, I know you're sold on his power, but I'll tell you who wasn't sold on his power, and that was Isaac Cruz, man. He was not sold on that power. Yeah. He got clipped, and he got clipped a few times, but it didn't stop the little muscle, Pit Bull, to keep coming forward, trying to land some big shots to the body. If anybody felt power that night, it looked to me Davis did because, you know, he wasn't doing what he would normally do, which is walk down a guy to land those big punches. Like the way he did with Santa Cruz, even with Barrios, he didn't do a lot of that, you know, I'm going to come forward and I'm going to push you back. If anything, he was taking off a page of Floyd, which is trying to avoid the onslaught that was coming forward, you know. Impressive from Cruz, but how impressed
how much
are you?
Did he buy the hand injury?
I buy it enough as Floyd saying that he might make a comeback to fight Canelo. That's how much I buy into it.
All right, yeah, that's fair. yeah, I mean, hand injury means whatever it means.
It means
didn't look good.
it probably did. He probably did. But, man, if you look back at the opponents he's faced from Gamboa, he hasn't looked that good.
He really has a lot of hand injuries, apparently.
Right, a lot of hand injuries. He should have said that. He should have said, my hand is still injured from the fight before Gamboa. That would have been believable. I think I would have bought into that.
When's the last time I looked good? Yeah, it's been broken since then.
Pedraza? That was yeah.
Speaking of Barrios, dude, he got a. You see, today he got a nice little deal. He's getting the Keith Thurman fight.
I've heard. Keith Thurman, who's been gone from the sport even before the pandemic. He's a Nostradamus, I heard. You know, he even knew this was going to happen. So that's why he decided, I'm not going to come back to the sport. We're going to be in a lockdown. So he got in a lockdown Thurman, early. Yeah. Yeah, Keith Thurman and stuff.
Yeah, remember when he was supposed to fight like Obakar and Ike Quarte and all those dudes back then and hasn't fought since then?
Right.
Pay-per-view or whatever.
I've seen a picture of Keith Thurman in the Bible, you know, sitting down next to Jesus with his flute, man. So he's been around for quite some time. He hasn't been in the ring. That's how long he hasn't been in the ring and stuff. But I thought it was hilarious to see Keith Thurman just come out of the woodworks, you know. He's just that one dude that shows up. Yeah, he's that one friend that only shows up when the pay-per-view's on and he just brings that one beer for himself, you know. And he brings that one beer that nobody drinks. Right? Like, oh, this fucker, you know, brings up Colt 45.
But he drinks 12 beers.
Yeah.
He's there. And then he'll act like he's been around the whole time.
Right. Like he's still a factor. He's a major player, you know.
Glad you're here, but I wasn't holding my breath.
Right.
I don't know. I'll watch it. I don't mind Keith Thurman fights. I like.
What's a better fight?
I'm not holding my breath for him.
Let me ask you this. What's a better fight, though? Amir Khan? Versus Cal Brook or Barrios versus Thurman? Which one do you think is going to have more action?
Oh, Brook Khan, dude. Jesus, that's fight of the year. Like, I don't care how, I don't know how shot they are. Like,
they're pretty shoddy, but you know what? They're going to go out there and they're going to show us, they're going to remind us how shoddy they are, you know? And I think that's what's going to make a really good, fun fight. And not even that,
Amir Khan's, they both still have some hand speed and power.
Right, they do. They both can crack. They both can box. And, you know, you just don't know which one's going to either the orbital bone's going to crack or if the chin's going to shatter. That I think that's really what really makes fun. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. But going back with Keith Thurman, who's worse, Keith Thurman or Ryan Garcia? Because they it's almost like they follow the same script. They're nowhere to be found. But after a fight, their little Twitter fingers jump back on social media and start calling everybody out.
Yeah, Ryan's way worse, man. But like, because at least with Keith, like most of this pandemic, it's like he's out there living his life in Nepal or Bhutan, like playing his flute. And like, it's like, good for you, man. Like, enjoy that Ricky Williams life.
I know. Every time I think about that, I always have an image of him when he's like, he's got his knees like crossed in Indian style, you know, and he's on a cloud. He's like,
yeah, it's like, you know, when he steps away from the sport, it's like, you know, that he looks like he's having a good time. I don't care. Like, good for you, man. Like, Ryan Garcia, I don't, like, maybe it's just like, I don't want to sound like all old man of like these damn kids nowadays.
Right.
But, like, what is he doing? Like, what are you doing all day? You know, your own trainer's calling you out for not training. Your own promoter's like, yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on. Coked out version of Oscar the other day is like, yeah, Ryan's not ready for Tank. I'm like, do you watch the same Tank I just watched? But maybe Ryan isn't, but he's fast enough to, you know, he might be as ready as he ever is. But it's with Ryan, it's just like Ryan. There was so much to build off in that Luke Campbell fight.
Right.
That was a major step forward for him against probably a top 10 guy. He got put down. Showed some serious flaws. Yeah.
How frustrating for your promoter. If you're his promoter or his manager, and you finally cracked open the door where fight fans accept you, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, your toes are coming out finally, and people are finally going, maybe this kid is something. Maybe this kid is the real deal. He immediately just goes right back. Now, look, the whole mental issue, I'm not going to really comment about that because I don't know. We don't know. But it didn't look good, buddy, that the same week when you make this announcement, you were in a vacation in Hawaii and posting pictures and showing how much of a dandy time you have. That just rubbed people wrong, unfortunately. Yeah. That rubbed a lot of folks wrong. Me, in person, I was like, good for this little bastard. You know, good for you, man. You're out there. You're getting the sun. We all need vitamin D in our lives, you know. But
make me happy going to Hawaii.
Right. You know, but at the same time, you used an issue that it really honestly affects a lot of people in the world, you know, which is the mental issue. But then, you know, making another announcement, was going to get back into the ring, and then the hand injury. Okay, and he was pumping his, you know, fist against his chest. Maybe that's how you heard Sam. He was pumping his, you know, fist against his chest, and then he makes the announcement again that he's not going to return to the ring, you know. And I think what most folks want from fighters now, because social media was great in the beginning. I loved the back and forth when I saw fighters go at it on social media. But I think now folks have now kind of railed back into, got into a time machine and went back to the 80s where they're asking the fighters, just shut up and fight when you're going to fight. And they make that announcement and show up and then give us a good night of fights. That's all us fight fans really, really are asking for.
Yeah. I'm cool with a good shit talker, but like, if someone wants to do that and you're fighting three times a year, it's like, hey, yeah, let's do this. But it's like, Ryan is even a pro fighter anymore. He's been off for a year, like coming into his prime for no reason. I mean, and yeah, with mental health, it's like, this is serious. And it feels like, I don't know how to say it right, but like he went there to make sure so people wouldn't call him out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't. I shouldn't say it like that because you don't know what's going on with someone, but
you don't.
Like in his mind, it's like, you know, I don't feel like being out there. So,
here's the thing. When you're a public figure that has a habit of putting every little bit of your life on, you know, for all the eyes of the world to see, that comes into criticism. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Here was a kid, and this is what I was told. Okay. This is what because I've spoken to a couple, you know, young, I still speak to youngsters on the streets and stuff about, you know, real world issues. Yeah. Real world issues. Right. But, you know, I remember speaking
jump
to a couple
street, 20, jump, yeah. 21 Jump Street. Yeah.
I remember a couple of folks going like, well, a couple of youngsters going, you know, around his age, saying, look, he had no issue talking about or putting on his life on social media. Never once brings it up. This was a shocker. This came out of the blue. And I think that's why it wasn't hard. It was not very easy for people to, but you know, cash in on it. They were like, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. And then when people were being, you know, they were like, hey, softening up to it. And we're like, okay, maybe there is something here. You know, that's not something, you know, automatically you throw out there. But then bam, homeboy's in Hawaii and his swimsuit with some hot chick that he's dating. And they're like, well, come on, man. You know, so that's what it really, really comes down to, man.
I enjoyed the shit out of his last fight. Like, I did that too. Was a blast.
Oh yeah.
So that whole like 135, you know, new Four Kings, whatever they want to call it, which is that name's got to change. Yeah.
Come on, let's stop with that.
Yeah, we got to stop that fast. But out of the four, I mean, Ryan's in Hawaii doing whatever with Instagram models. Tank's had a couple of duds. Teo shit the bed last week. Haney, we've seen him kind of up and down, but now he has a couple of good wins all of a sudden.
He's got better wins than Tank.
Yeah, and Ryan.
Yeah, and Ryan. Yep.
Teo really only has one win.
Yeah.
One huge win, but like all of a sudden Haney might be in the lead on those four. And I didn't think I'd be saying that a year ago.
I know. Right.
And actually he looked pretty almost solid against Joe. Yeah, he looked solid. I mean, he looked more mature than he had before.
Well, here's the funny thing talking about Four Kings. When have we ever labeled four guys, Four Kings without really knowing if they're good enough to hold the crown? You know what I mean? Time. Yeah, it's now you have George Kambosos Jr., which I applaud. You know, great job of what he did against Teofimo Lopez. But I said this on Twitter. I said, listen, there's a difference between being in shape and being in fighting shape. There's a difference of training for a fight and training for the fighter you're going to fight. You know, Teofimo, who's really been riding off the coat of the Lomachenko win. You know, going into the whole bidding war with Top Rank and Trilla and asking for pay-per-view numbers and really just kind of showboating as a celebrity, you know, as you say. I mean, look, he signed on the deal to be on Creed 3. He's on Creed 3. So he's kind of doing the Victor Ortiz route, which is, you know, celebrate a little bit more than you've done. And I think, I hope he's got some humble pie, but it doesn't look like that because his dad, seen in it.
He's got to go, man.
Right, oh, well, I don't know yet. I'm on the fence on that. I know you're not. I'm on the fence with that, you know. But his dad obviously is taking a page of the, you know, Deontay Wilder YouTube fans' conspiracy theories, you know, and going off the hinge and talking about that Eddie Hearn that set him up in Vegas and you guys were against, not in Vegas, in New York, in my own backyard, and this was all set up and, you know,
Dad's got to go, man. That they didn't have a game plan there. The game plan was, let's just go knock this guy out and get out of here. And
Dad didn't have a game plan this time, but what about the other times? I mean, are we going to forget and throw away all the other times he's had a game plan for his son?
Yeah, he did it against Loma, but I mean, has he had a game plan that often? I mean, he's fought some stiffs.
Right.
Not Comey. I mean, but Comey, I mean, he's there to be hit. And if you have some pop, he's –
Yeah.
I guess Loma, the Japanese kid he fought, he looked solid that night.
You know, I think, look, we're in an era right now for the last, close to 20 years, it's been father and son duels, and they worked out because that was a big
We're not working out.
We're not working out, you know, but I mean, most of all, they've been working out. More people have actually accepted it. Where in the past, it was like a big no-no. You know, how many people were asking Shane to leave Jack Mosley? Mm-hmm. Remember those duels and stuff? But I think what Teofimo's dad should do is not completely step. He already announced on his social media that that's not going to happen. They're going to stick together. They're going to stick it out together. You know, they lost together. You know, and they're gonna band it up and get back on the right track. Okay, my feelings about this is that as a father, as proud as you are, and you made this, right? You this is what you created. This is who you molded to be. But you, as a father, as a trainer at the same time, a father needs to shut his eyes and open up his trainer eyes and realize, look, I've taken him this far. Maybe I need to bring somebody else in and gradually let that person take over. And then I can slowly step out because, you know, if you have a fighter that's a student of the game, allow them to be the student, you know. But if you're not a student of the game, which, you know, that's what I loved about, like, Knotso Bernstein, Emmanuel Stewart. These guys were students of the game. And Freddie Rose, they're always willing to learn more. They're always willing to hear you. I mean, I remember having conversations with these guys and, you know, sitting there and BSing with them. And they were like, oh, man, I really thought about it that way, you know, and that meant a lot because that meant that they were willing to hear, not stop you and go like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about, kid, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where senior needs to be at in his life. Where he gets there, I don't know. It's really right now at the moment what he's we're not, seeing. He's not getting there. He's definitely not going to get
no,
there.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's desperate. Well, you know, as a father, you got to look at him and just think, well, what's best for my son? And I know we kind of say this with a lot of dad trainers where some are fantastic trainers and some are just kind of like, what the hell are they doing in there? Floyd Sr., great trainer, actually. And you can see it because he branched out to other dudes. I'm trying to think of some other ones that are Ruben Guerrero wasn't terrible. Who knows? But
Eric Morales was trained by his brother, right? Oh, was it his brother?
Yeah, that's true. Mikey's dad.
Right. You know, Mikey's dad was Garcia.
And Fernando Vargas. Him.
Right. You know, like I said, these are guys that are willing, they're student of the game. We're seeing more of trainers. And this is just not Teofimo Lopez's dad, because, I mean, I saw a lot of people just bagging on his dad pretty heavy and stuff, but I was like, guys, you're forgetting there's been trainers before him that were all about the limelight, that all, you know, they were right there, you know, they were doing the Biggie, the P. Diddy and Biggie thing, you know, where P. Diddy was all up in the video, all in the song. There's a lot of trainers that were still doing the same thing.
Who's gonna be Suge Knight?
And it's not Floyd Mayweather. He's P. Diddy the tank right now.
We got Bo Mack out there being Suge Knight. Like, come to Omaha.
Come to Omaha. That's another good trainer. And you know what?
He's a hell of a trainer.
He's a hell of a trainer. He's done a great job with the Crawford. He hasn't had the greatest track record with the other guys, but if you listen to his corner, he's got great instructions. You know,
and with someone like Herring, like, what else could he have done against Shakur? Mm. Like, he just wasn't as good as him. Like, no. you can only give so much instruction, and it's just like, right, you're gonna lose that one.
And the kid never gave up though. Herring, I give it to him. You know, salute to Herring. Yeah, I give it up to him.
Yeah. Won his lawsuit this week and something, whatever. But you know, Bo Mack, you can hear him as an announcer. He is that student of the game. He's thinking through it. He's kind of listening to the other announcer. Like, oh yeah, that is a good way to look at it. And you see that in the top trainers that are willing to take one on the chin and learn a bit, and not these guys who are, you know, kind of like your Instagram trainer type thing,
or even like Eddie Reynoso. You know, Eddie Reynoso learning from his dad. You could tell, too, a couple of interviews I've heard, you know, listen to him. You could tell
learn from his dad, or did his dad learn from him?
Right. You know? I mean, but you know what I mean? You could see that the guy, they study tape, which I think I'm very big on. You know, I think every fighter should sit down and watch other fighters. Yeah. Hours. I always trip out or you know, when they'll tell me, like, no, I don't watch my opponents. Or even when a trainer. I remember, I was speechless. When Buddy McGirt goes, I don't watch any other fighters. You know, if you have to watch tape, you shouldn't be in the game. I was like, what the? And then Sergey Kovalev goes out there and gets knocked out by Canelo. He said this right before the Canelo fight. You know, so
you think someone like Emmanuel Stewart didn't watch tape? Like,
oh, dude, he watched a lot of tape.
Nightly ritual. It was like, exactly. All right, now time for 3 hours of boxing. It's after dinner.
No boxing, no life. I mean, that's their, you know, model. Like, you know,
imagine if you heard a football coach saying, yeah, we're going into Sunday. We didn't watch any tape. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do, but we're going to be fine. We're going to do our thing.
I think the Raiders coach does that. They don't watch any tapes. You know, when they go to the don't come at me, Raider fans. I'm kidding. I don't even watch football, you know, but I know they'll stab you when they lose, you know.
Right. Only well, it's okay, though. The coach is saying racist.
Yeah.
Different situation.
I know. That's for another sports talk show.
Yeah.
But you know what got me, though? And I've been kind of binging. Now, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts or listen to, like, YouTubers and stuff like that. It's really hard for me for them to grab my attention. But, you know, our listeners have always been great. Even no matter how long we're off the air, I still get tons of emails and guys asking me, they're, you know, hey, what do you think about this? Or shooting me little clips of certain things. And I got a bunch of clips from the Mike Tyson, what is it called? The Hot Room?
Hot
Box. There you go. And they sent me one with the Canelo interview. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know, let me tell you why I like the show. Because Mike is Mike, okay? And anybody that goes on the Iron Mike Tyson show, they have this petrified look. You know, like they're like trapped in a cage with a tiger or a lion. They got that look that you have right now. It's just kind of frozen, like, what am I doing here? Yeah. And you're like sitting there hanging off of every word that's coming out of Iron Mike. And Mike sounds like he's holding a fart that he doesn't want to let loose, you know? And he's like in the verge of just like crying. Like, I felt like somebody needs to tell this guy, you're not supposed to hold it that long, Mike. You're supposed to let it out. Let it out, right? But he's got Eddie Reynoso and he's got Canelo there. And
so yeah, I got a take on this.
Okay, but let me finish what I say. So they start talking about great whoever his co-host was on that show, which was an MMA fighter, and I don't know any guys from MMA. I don't know their names, but he was a great actor. He's a really good co-host because he keeps the flow going, right? He keeps it just, you know, moving along. He goes, hey, what do you think about all the other great champions, you know, in at Mexico? And they start naming off, like Julio Cesar Chavez and, you know, Barrera and Morales. And then Mike goes, Salvador Sanchez, he's a motherfucker. You know, and I'm like, this poor guy is constipated, bro. You know, and Canelo's like, nah, you know. And I was really surprised, because saying that they're a student in the game, for you to say you really didn't watch a whole lot of Salvador Sanchez, which is not that way back. You're talking about early 80s here.
Yeah,
and Sanchez was a phenom. Like Mike said, a bad motherfucker. Like, why wouldn't you not watch tapes about Salvador Sanchez? I thought that was weird. But give me your take. What were your thoughts about that?
So Canelo's turned into Floyd, man. it's like that level of arrogant. I'm arrogant. Like, I'm the best. I am the best. None of these guys can touch me. Like, ask Floyd about like Ray Leonard or Tommy Hearns, a dude from that era. And he's gonna do the same kind of thing. You know, on one end, it's like, that's the kind of like ego you need to get anywhere near that level.
You think it might be because he's been attacked so much? I mean, look at like Juan Manuel Marquez. But I've never heard like Barrera Morales or even like Julio Cesar Chavez. Even when Chavez's son Junior was going after Canelo, I don't remember him like having that animosity towards Canelo, but I remember off the air we were talking about this, and you had brought something up, and it got me thinking. You had said, "I think it's the him being competitive, you know, and not wanting
absolutely.
Right, you know." And I was saying, like, I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? First off, Canelo's already in the history books. He did 160 unified it, which nobody's done from any country. Canelo, which went out there, and your argument could be that he didn't do it at 160, 154, but the fact of the matter is he did it at 168, which Joe Calzaghe, Roy Jones, even James Toney, none Stoney. Of these guys did that, okay? And these are great, great, great fighters, okay?
Yep.
He went out there and he did it. So he, to me, is already cemented in the legacy of out of Mexico, but overall in boxing. He's going to be talked about for years, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when you talk about the stable of opponents and the great fights that Canelo's had, and he's had, I mean, his resume is beautiful, okay? But you can look
for
at
modern
it.
Modern resume, yeah.
For modern is right. But you can look at it and you can go like, well, Shane Mosley was over the hill. You know, Carlos Baldemir. This guy. Miguel Cotto was too small for 160, et cetera. I mean, the only two fights that are big standouts for me is Gennady Golovkin. Those were the two big
Triple
ones.
G twice. Even Jacobs, it's kind of like, yeah. But
Right. It was a phenomenal performance, but it wasn't
same area.
Right, and even Trout Lara were very questionable wins. People argue with you. I thought he won them, but people were
close. But yeah,
Lara, I thought he pulled it off. But this is what I'm thinking. Okay. Look at Barrera. Barrera had Morales. Barrera had Hamed. Morales, went out and fought Pacquiao, gave him the first fight, he defeated him.
Right.
Morales back and forth with Barrera. Salvador Sanchez, Azuma Nelson, Alfredo Gomez, Danny Lopez. Yeah, these were killers. These guys were they brought something to the table. They had these guys really had to dig super, super deep. And we've only seen Canelo dig super, super deep one time, and that – well, twice, which was both against Gennady Golovkin. And I think that's where the kind of resentment that Canelo is kind of showing now when being asked about other Mexican champions. Because, see, he went off – and here's the thing. I think he knew – look – I don't have any killers at 154, 160, 168. There's really no rival here. So what do I do? I'm going to do something that nobody's done. I'm going to go unify a division, 168. Mm-hmm. And he did it.
And that's what's next?
I hope it's 175. That would be a couple
of fun fights.
Oh, yeah.
I think he does it. If he wants to, he can do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I know there's some backlash to the whole cruiserweight idea, but I'm in. I'll watch it. That sounds like a blast.
I'm all for it. I mean,
let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think he's just doing what he did last time, which he made that big leap to, when he fought Kovla I think he's doing the same thing, just testing the water, and he's going to come back down, you know, because honestly, I don't really see any of the other lightweights kind of like, you know, steamrolling forward wanting to face the kid at the moment, you know? So I think he's testing the water to see what is out there and stuff. Hey!
It's like market research.
Yeah, right, exactly, you know. Deontay Wilder's flirting with retirement. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, and a perfume.
With his wife, right? Yeah. I'm not going to hate. I might purchase it, you know, just to help the guy out. But no, you know.
I mean, I
it's metrosexual, right? That's what they call it when it goes both ways.
Sure. Yeah, you got to enlighten me. But I don't know. Yeah, I got some cologne, I guess. I got
Babe, like, you smell just like me. She's like, no, it's your cologne.
You're I know. Right? Oh man.
No wonder I like it. Of course it is. Yeah.
No wonder borrowed your big sexy hair from the bathroom. It,
you know, I don't mind her wearing my shirt, like a sweater or, you know, a t-shirt of mine. That's perfectly fine. But wearing my cologne, I got to pump the brakes there, man. I don't know about you. It's like using my toothbrush. Like, whoa, what are you doing? Why would you be using my toothbrush? You know,
does a cologne really smell that much different than, like, the colognes nowadays, they all smell like perfume. What the hell?
Yeah, but a man's cologne is like musk. You know what I mean? You want to have that.
Are there more, though? I mean, they should be. But
I like mine to have charcoal in it. I don't know about you. You know, I like smelling like barbecue. Walking in, somebody says, like, they got ribs on the grill? I'm like, yeah, that's my cologne right there.
Yeah.
Barbecue stench.
You know? Yeah. I got this one at Famous Dave's.
Right? Yeah, I'm not too sure if I want to have one where I could share with the old lady, you know. We're fighting over that.
Now she smells like ribs.
But yeah. I'm already trying to eat her up. And I'm pretty sure she's not going to want to smell something more like what I want to eat up, you know. She's already trying to keep me off of her, you know. So, yeah.
you're going to get your ass in trouble.
I am, you know. It was like, what if the cologne smells like flowers? Now you're like, come on, man. Somebody's like, some hot chick's in here. I can imagine that, just showing up to work.
Why'd you bring the barbecue sauce to bed again?
Smelling like flowers, walking into work, and somebody's like, some hot chick was in here just a little while ago. Oh, no, that's me.
That's me, yeah. You know, this is
it's my stench.
Fabric softener, don't worry.
Right. So going with Wilder, talking about retirement here, and I'm not buying it. I hope he's not really going to make that move, but here's the thing. He's not young. Okay. He went through hell and back with Tyson Fury. But I don't know about you where you stand on this, but I still think he makes a hell of a run against any of the other heavyweights out there. I think he makes a major run against Usyk. I think he makes a major run against Anthony Joshua. You know, I mean, Charles Martin's still out there. Andy Ruiz. I mean, why retire? There's a lot of money still to be made out there. Or is this just an antic of his in his part to go like, let's see how many people, you know, wanted me to stick around?
I think we'll see him fight again. I don't know if he knows that yet. But at some point, he's going to look around me, you know, 6 months down the road after watching Andy Ruiz come in 30 pounds heavy and fight to a draw against Charles Martin. He's going to think, my God, I make $5 million knocking one of these guys out.
Right. Right.
That said, I think in his mind, he's thinking, you know, I'm burnt out. Like, that's a hell of a 4 or 5 years he's been through. Even outside of the Fury fights, it's not really like he's had many light touches. He's made a few of them look light, but like, been a lot of good heavyweights he's gone through. Ortiz twice. I mean, just one after another. Even like, you know, Washington's not that bad. Like those kind of guys, Spielka, they're like the kind of, they're not terrible fighters. Like that's a grind for a decade now.
Right.
He just needs a break.
Money's
not an issue.
You know, I think he needs to take that break, like you were saying. I mean, look, his right hand brings God fearing to anybody if he lands it. Ask Tyson Fury, you know, how many times he's been dropped by that kid. Okay. Somebody asked me, a friend of mine was saying, how good do you think Usyk is. Is he better skill-wise than Tyson Fury? And I said, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's kind of hard to say. And he goes, well, it's different. And I was saying, you know, footwork, the jab, just certain things that he does that obviously, you know, Tyson Fury couldn't mimic, and he couldn't mimic what Tyson Fury does. But here's the thing. He was like, well, could Usyk do what Tyson did to Wilder? And I said, we don't know. I said, I think he can outbox him, but can he withstand the power when it lands? Because it will land. That's the one thing about Wilder. Yeah. He's not shy with that right hand. You know what I mean? He loads up. It's coming. And that's one thing that you got to tip your hat to Wilder, because, I mean, the guy, when he says he's coming for you, my God, he's coming for you. And
he might go two for 50 in a round.
Right. Exactly. You know, so that's why I'm like, there's still, I mean, and here's another thing. I said, let's say Usyk and AJ, which, you know, there's still talks about them, you know, going back for a rematch because it was in the contract, et cetera. I'm like, if let's say AJ opts not to get in with Usyk again and says, I want to do something else. I still and Usyk and Tyson Fury decide to get it on, and AJ goes, you know what? I'll still fight Wilder. I don't know about you, but I still think that's a big fight. Both guys coming off loss, but, you know, one guy got knocked out, the other guy got completely outboxed. It still makes a fun fight for me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think those top four heavyweight. I mean, any combination of those four, I'm going to watch it. It's going to be a fun fight. Yep. Deontay, like style wise, it is really interesting. So say he gets an Usyk fight, beats him. Does he get a fourth fight with Fury?
Ooh. You know, and you know, here's another thing. I'd watch it. I don't know why people say they wouldn't. All three trilogies, which it's really rare. Awesome. They were great. So much drama, you know?
In such a heavyweight kind of way, too. Like,
yeah. And I get some people, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, Brian. There's some people that are like, well, I don't want to see a third one because his fans ruined it. You know, they came out with this whole conspiracy thing, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what's crazy about this? Tell me if I'm wrong about this. The crazy part is that the majority of people that were bitching and moaning about the guys that were coming out with the glove gate and, you know, the egg weight and all this stuff they were complaining about, they were the same dudes that believe JFK Jr. Is still alive, okay? All right? Man, they still believe that Donald Trump is going to get back in the office, right?
Man, the vaccine's going to make you see frogs and look for JFK.
It's going to turn you into a lizard, all right? And or killing, you know, like, you know, a vaccine's going to kill people within 4 days or turn them into zombies. Those are the same dudes that are complaining about the Deontay Wilder fans that were saying, hey, this man was cheating. This man was cheating. So radicalized fans, guess what? If you're a boxing fan and you're a guy that tunes in to watch every single fight, okay, or has a background like mine right here. Okay, let me show you the big background here, where everything in here is a freaking boxing thing. You're radicalized already. Okay, all boxing fans, all sport fans are radicalized. Okay, so
here, yeah, I don't like, were that many fans believing the conspiracy theories?
Like, no, but they like, sure were fun.
They were fun. They were wild, and they were kind of harmless.
Right.
But, like, I don't think that many people were into him. But, man, people loved ripping on him.
Oh, yeah.
And people got off on ripping on him. Like, that's what I always thought was weird. It's like, yeah, these are 10 kids on the internet. Let them say some stupid shit. Like,
but they would trigger a large amount of folks that were anti-Wilder. Like, they just hated Wilder. And, I mean, you know, to the point.
We called them... That we got a name for that. What do we call them? Lomachenko fans.
Yeah. Jeez. You went there.
I know. Yeah. No, I got nothing. I got nothing against Loma. I can't be doing that.
You know. Well, if Sean Gibbons was with us right now, he'll be showing the picture of Siri. You know, you remind everybody this is the first man to beat Lomachenko, but. But yeah, you know, like I said, you know, anytime I talk to anybody about Wilder, he's now connected, which he embraced the whole conspiracy thing. But did do you blame him? Because remember, Top Rank wanted nothing to do with him, right?
Yeah. So for years.
for years. I mean, like, they, you know, they brushed him off. They were making up other fights already. You know, the AJ was pretty much signed and delivered. And here you had a guy that was frantic. Right. Going to court, frantic, and saying, you know what, I'm gonna pick up every piece of shit that's being dropped near me and throw it against the wall and see if it sticks or slides down. And it did. And he got the fight. And we ended up getting a great night. You know?
And his grandkids are gonna be rich for life because he filed that lawsuit.
Like, yeah.
Now I expect to see him again. I'm gonna watch Wilder fight because I know just how flawed he is.
Right.
I know what he can and can't do, and I don't care. It's fun. I want to see guys get knocked out. I'm here for the violence.
And somebody always gets knocked out,
especially at heavyweight.
With Wilder,
at heavyweight.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
yeah,
I'm not there to like a staring contest. This weekend there's a ton of boxing. This weekend we haven't even talked about it, but I'm not really pumped up about a single fight this weekend, which is embarrassing. Like Lomachenko fights, Ali Akhmadov fights. I don't really care about that.
What are the bets? Let me ask you this. What you're going to lay any bets down on any of these fights? And if you are, which ones are the ones?
I'm scrolling through BoxRec. Real Sam Solomon fights this weekend. My God.
Sam Solomon? He's fighting, huh?
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Wow. He has not won in years.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lomachenko, I mean, he's an 8-1 favorite. I don't want to waste my money on that. I mean, if there's ever a weekend to take off, it's like this might, there's an ESPN Plus card from Kazakhstan on Saturday. I mean, I got to have a social life on a Saturday afternoon. Tomoki Kameda is fighting, but that's in Hermosillo. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, Donaire, he's fighting this weekend too, right?
Yeah, Donaire, yeah, but I don't. Kurbanov's fighting Teixeira. I don't know if that's on TV here, though. Mm. That's a fun fight.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I don't know. Yeah.
Also, some weird Russian channel. That might be the best fight of the weekend. Oh, Paul Butler's fighting Casimiro on the Richard Schaefer card.
Right. That's Richard Schaefer card as well.
Yeah, so he has two of them going. Yeah. Conor Ben Algeri.
Or three, doesn't he? Doesn't he have like three? One in Dubai?
Yo, that's the Dubai one.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Conor Ben, Chris Algeri. I mean,
that is going to be televised, but I think it's only going to be.
That's DAZN.
Is it DAZN? Okay. All right. I saw something else on the press release that they emailed me to me, and it was some. I want to say it was a YouTube channel, but it was only going to be televised in the UK. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah,
Nonito's card. I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, I'll always tune in for a Nonito fight, but like, I'm not really excited about it. Lomachenko Comey. I mean,
I like that fight. I think it's going to be okay. Yeah. You know, I think Lomi is going to go out there and just be Lomachenko, right?
Yeah.
You know, Comey has a chance if he can land and be consistent. I just don't see that. You know,
He's not going to land.
Right.
My worry with that fight is that it's a 120-108 and I'm like falling asleep on the couch. Right. Keyshawn Davis is on the undercard. I know I really like him. He's our silver medalist this year. Jared Anderson, I'm high on him, but like,
right.
I don't know how high I am on him yet.
Big baby.
Big new big baby.
Right.
Just seems like a happy kid. They're moving him up though. Slowly. It's not even that slow anymore. So there are a lot of fights. None of them really get me that excited. I don't think the Comey fight's that interesting.
How about the Jake Paul and Woodley fight that got it just rehashed because Tommy Fury.
Nothing else to do.
Right.
Yeah. 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 That's so we've had a great month and a half. And now it's just like, just get to the new year. Like I thought Golovkin was going to lose in Japan, but that's not happening.
That's not happening. Poor Golovkin. He's off that card because of COVID restrictions in Japan. They're back on another lockdown.
I thought he was going to lose that.
Why couldn't they just bring that guy down over here? I don't understand that. You know, could have had it at Texas.
Japanese TV, man. They wanted that TV money. New Year's Eve, big TV money. That's they're getting paid millions for that. But
I blame Biden.
Blame Biden, man. Yeah.
Blame Biden.
Damn it, Brandon.
Blame it, Brandon.
Jesus. I see people like posting that unironically. It's like,
oh, man, anybody just says just to say it now. I don't even know what it means. You know, they just say it.
I don't even know what it means. I just,
I don't either.
I'm just like, these rednecks are saying it. Yeah, keep me away. But
no, keep saying it so I know not to go into that bar. Yeah, please just keep saying it. You know?
Like, I'm out of this dive bar, man. Like, come on. Now, it's kind of a slow couple of weeks here.
Well, Brandon Lee's on the Showtime undercard, I believe, with Dornier, right?
Yeah.
So there goes. Let's go, Brandon.
yeah, right. Yeah, Brandon Lee, as much as I don't get, I mean, I guess I want to see him step up a bit. I don't know if he's good yet.
No, I don't. I mean, he looks like he has it, you know, but he's like Enos Boots. You know, they have the look. We just don't know if they really going to carry it over.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, like I can throw a tomato can against a wall and it'll break eventually. But like, you gotta step up, and you don't know if he's any good.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, and you know, really quick talking about who's been egged on a lot this year. You would have to say Bob, and it was Bob's birthday. The guy just turned 90 years old, right? And
the good die young.
Right, Ty Young, and he lost in court with the Wilder. They had to end up making the Wilder and Tyson, and then last month in November, he lost one of his top A-list fighters in Terrence Crawford. You know, Crawford saying he's not going to renew his contract, also saying like, hey, why would I work with them if he couldn't make the Spence fight when I was with them? Why would he do it? Why would it happen now? When I'm not with him, which made perfect sense. And Bob, poor Bob, you know, I think he was asleep when Crawford was saying all that. But he was just sitting there like he had no response to that, you know. And he didn't have a rant the way he did to that one reporter, Copper, whatever they, get him out of here. Get him the hell out of here, you know.
I think everyone enjoyed that. So speaking of old people, Don King won a purse bid today.
Only in America, my friend.
I'm reading a Dan Rayfield tweet. It's for Mahmoud Char and Trevor Bryan.
Wow.
For a WBA regular in recess title belt.
In recess. What the F does that even mean, bro? What does that mean?
Oh, it's the WBA, man.
Why don't they just call it the WBA Backwoods Belt? Because where it's going to be at, nobody knows, you know.
Warren, Ohio. January 29th. So like 6 weeks from now in Warren, Ohio, Makubu Machuno is on the undercard. That's a nice fight. But Don King was the only bidder.
I could just
$1 million for.
I could just picture that. Him in his jean jacket. You know, with all the patches and his holding flag screaming, and there's nobody there except for one person. You got it. He's like, great, got it for a stick of gum. I bought the fight for a stick of gum. Jesus.
He spent $1 million. But like, who's going to pay for this fight? Who's going to watch it? Who's going to broadcast it?
Dude, does he still have that amount of money? How old is Don anyways, man?
90. He turned 90, man. 92. Same age as Aram.
Bro, him and Aram are fighting about who's going to go first. There's got to be a devil's bet there,
deal with the devil somewhere in here.
Yeah.
Also, Trevor Bryan and Emmanuel Char is a shit show of a fun fight.
Is it going to be televised, you think?
I don't know. We have Don doesn't have any television deals. He hasn't promoted a real fight in 15 years.
Don will figure it out. Don King always figures it out how to get his fights out there.
He's on the forefront of whatever's going on in this world.
Maybe he'll sign with Richard Schaefer. Schaefer seems to be signing everybody that's, you know, underneath a rock.
I bet Schaefer would put it on TV somewhere.
Oh, he definitely would. You know?
He'd find some place.
You see that? Schaefer just signing everybody. People I didn't even know that were involved in the sport, you know.
Yeah, the thing about Schaefer, it's like he's just, you know, kind of suspect business practices and shady as hell, but he knows boxing. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Knows the market.
He's not stupid.
Yeah. He knows how to move money.
He knows the business side.
Yeah. Knows the market. Knows how to move money. And that's all you really need in the sport of boxing. I mean, look, there's more scumbags in boxing. If there was ever, if the police ever wanted to do a lineup, trust me, just go into a building full of boxing managers and promoters and PRs and just boxing people in general and start grabbing them. And 9 out of 10, they all have a criminal record. So
MTK, what's the MTK guy? Daniel Kinahan. I'm like, he doesn't even make the top 10 and 10 worst guys in boxing right now.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe number 10.
How'd you get into the sport? Well, I used to, you know, I used to rig matches and now I got a, you know, high up there in this big promotional company. Oh, good for you.
I used to rig matches in Oklahoma.
So why should we hire you?
I'm willing to go the extra mile.
I'm committed. Let me just say that, okay? Right. Oh, shit. You are committed. Oh, goddamn. Racketeering? Oh, my God. You know? Well, yeah.
Yeah. You'll run through a brick wall for this company. You're hired.
God, you only in boxing.
Rolling back odometers? I can find a spot for you.
Yeah, that's not the worst we've hired here in this company. Trust me. Right. Walk on through. You're wearing white gloves and they have oil on it? No problem. Walk on through. Jesus.
Just leave the bleach where the last guy did.
Oh my God.
There's some rough ones.
Oh man, there is a lot, you know.
I don't know if there are many good ones.
I know. It's hard to say. There are, you know what, there is some good guys in the sport. There really isn't, but they're so overshadowed by the guys that are out there where you're just like, how are they still in this freaking sport? Like how do people not see through the bullshit? But like I said, when you're radicalized, which we are, okay, you know, we're not so far off of the MAGA guys. Trust me, we are not. We're not.
And you're making it sound like Al Qaeda.
I know. I think we're almost close to it. Do you ever got on to like a fighter's Twitter and read some of the comments? And it's wild, right? Or even if like a YouTube video, you say something. God forbid you say something about Canelo or Lomachenko or even like Manny Pacquiao, they will come out like the mob and want to hang you.
They're wild.
Yep.
Oh yeah. People are. Yeah. I'm the Pacquiao fans. Remember 15 years ago in the message board days, how crazy Pacquiao fans were.
They were great.
There were like 100 different Filipino boxing websites.
Yeah.
they were just giant message boards where people would just go crazy.
And they would all say the same insults. Like there was nothing ever brand new. You know, they didn't really know how to insult you and you know, especially if you spoke English, right? Yeah. So it was all broken and you had to sit there and kind of figure it out. Like, did this motherfucker just call me a fucking Spanish monkey?
Yeah, it's like you're jumping between Tagalog and Spanish and English and you're like, sounded mean.
But it was great.
That was awesome. Good old days.
Yeah, I mean.
When fighters would go fight with fans on message boards, not Twitter.
Absolutely. And that's why I say, like, if you don't think boxing fans or any sports fans were radicalized, you got to just go and read these message boards or these comments on YouTube or social media. And you'll find out some horrific stuff where you'll see some fans wishing death on a fighter. You know, like, I hope you die in the ring. Like, whoa, bro. Holy shit. Like, relax, man. God damn. It's not that serious. You know?
Just a game, man.
I know. You know, like, holy smokes, you know. But if you're a betting man, then I understand. If you lost a lot of money on a guy,
I'm rolling decent this last last few months here. Yeah, well, I had a cleaned house on that Usyk weekend. And I've had some rough ones.
Right. So what was the roughest one you had? Let me ask you that. What was like the one that you were like, fuck?
Pacquiao Ugas.
Really?
That was recently. Yeah, I was just like, you can't be that shot. Part of me was thinking the whole time, like, why don't I just bet that this goes the distance and then I won't lose? But No, I bet Pacquiao decision, because it's like, yeah, he's not shot. I'll buy that extra
point. And it can't go. There's no way this guy can win a decision over Pacquiao.
They're going to rob this other guy. It doesn't matter. Like, these are free points. And that was a rough one for me, because I was, you know, nice and toasty that whole night. And it was like, oh, shit.
Somebody at the PBC headquarters were like, oh, I see Mr. Fogg is betting. Yeah. He's not winning his money back.
Yeah, a day later, I had to get a new TV, you know, whatever. But I blame Tom Brown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if he exists, but I've never seen the guy, but seen him, heard of him, know anyone who's ever met him, whatever.
Right. He's like, let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, man. I think we're at the end of our show. I know we have a bunch of other topics here, but I don't want to, overdo too much. I want to save some more for next week here on Leaving a Ring. Anyways, thanks everybody for joining us. I'm Dave Duenas with my co-host, Brian Fogg, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Caballeros.